Yeah, I have to go to my children's school something, so I have to be out there early.
Gotcha.
But I wanted to just run a few things by you. MJ Willard called yesterday, and she I got an interesting feeling from her, Gene. I get a feeling she's not clean. She's not clean, all you know, completely clean.
Well, that's what I said to you. I don't have anything to back it up with. I'm just going on woman's intuition.
Right. Right. Because I mentioned a few things, and she just got quiet, and she said, "Well, we're not perfect. We're not all perfect." And I said, "I understand. I understand, MJ." But she's going full bore ahead. I mean, she's going to make some noise.
And she should, and they don't know what to do about it. And she's doing some smart things. Like, one of the things that she did is, so they're taking her back through the appeal process. They did the redo, and they came up with Beckham. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's so ridiculous. But that would be one, a game where I would think if Scott's looking for poster children that are similar to the rule. But anyway, they did the redo, came up with Peckham. The committee doesn't know what to do about it at this point, the commission, or whatever they call it these days. So MJ wrote, well, I mean, she's got good counsel, and the council wrote and said, look, people, there's no point in going back to Martin and Dennis. Because they're going to say the same thing. We know. I mean, can we just skip the rest of the appeal process with Source America? Why don't you guys just rule? Because they're just trying to, I would assume, they're just trying to exhaust the administrative remedies so they can go to court.
Of course.
And get a little free discovery in the process. But the commission doesn't know how they're going to rule on that. And, you know, my guess is they usually are very supportive of Source America, so my guess is they'll continue to be supportive, and you know, she's going to end up litigating. Now, the only other thing, though, is for all of these where they think they're going to lose the litigation, they're just going to take them off the program.
Correct.
That's the news. But I got some. I wanted to ask you how you turned out on your probation.
Well, you know, I got an email the following day.
I got copied on that one.
From Gene Freeman. He made a mistake. He made a terrible mistake. It's not a PIP.
Wait, I didn't get that one.
Huh?
What's the mistake?
It's not a PIP. Let me read it to you. This is dated.
Oh, that's right. It's just the plan of that bullshit thing again.
Yeah.
Why do we just keep doing the same thing over? It's like Groundhog's Day. Same crap he did before when I was out there, and I said, well, David, is it Fisher file? Is he on a plan or isn't he on a plan?
Right. Now, it's dated January 31st, okay? This is from Jim. It says, after our discussion yesterday regarding the terminology of the action items we were all working on, I've had more discussion with staff at Source America.
It wasn't me. Go ahead.
I also reviewed our project intervention and improvement process this morning. In reviewing the process, I realized I misinterpreted the process and made a mistake by calling the action register we were all working on yesterday a performance improvement plan. Per our process, a PIP is only a four-step process, and Bonafide is not in a four-step process. I should have called the action register a corrective action plan for our process. I apologize for the mistake I made and the concern it cost you. But he had told my representative.
But then you got another email yesterday that said you got 30 days to clean your act up.
That I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got another one after that. You got more after that.
And that's
they're calling it a corrective action plan, and you still got some issues.
Well, of course. So, well, I knew they would not go away. That was a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think they, why would they go, you're on a PIP, and the next day you're not on a PIP?
Well, he may, you know, I told you they're not the brightest people. He may have screwed it up. He may have, you know, I don't know. But, because that would be really dumb to do that, first of all.
Right, right. And we were
in the middle of all this. But, and David may not have known. I mean, maybe he's got to it and said, you did what? You know.
Right.
But this is the same game they played with you last time.
Correct.
If I recall correctly.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the exact same. It's like I said, it's like Groundhog's Day. Just go to sleep and it starts all over again.
Right, because I mean, we were on level 3, by the way. They had put us on 3, on level 3. Not 2, but 3.
3 means you can't apply for any.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And have you noticed that there's nothing on SS? I mean, I don't know that they've issued anything starting, you know, this year, this month.
Oh, they're on a moratorium right now because remember Martin's supposed to be revamping the process, which is just the craziest thing. But hold on a second. I thought I just saw an email to you like yesterday or the day before. No imagining that. Hold on.
That's
odd. Are you dealing with out there?
I'm sorry?
Who are you dealing with out there, Freeman, and who else?
Jim Freeman, that's all.
No, I saw some other email to you. Hang on.
I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah. It's been within the last day or two. Let's see. I think it was Tuesday. Let me do it this way. Peckham. This is about the Peckham building, right?
Right. I'm looking for it here at the Bonafide email. I don't see anything.
Well, how are you liking the NGA stuff?
I'm telling you.
That's getting better by the minute. That's going to go out of the program, too, though.
Is it?
That would be my guess. I have to admit, the commission sent back, they're at least trying to cover their butts on paper. They sent back a lot of questions for our people. And I told, and Martin wanted to go get outside counsel, and I said, no way. I got time. I'll handle it. But what I want you to do is get me the answers to all the questions they asked. Today. And my close of business today. And so this morning he told me, I can't do that. My people are just getting back from the conference. I said, but you're the one who said we had to rush because we had to get an answer back quickly. Now it's not so quick. And let's see, I'm talking to the commission. I mean, they're at least asking the right questions now. The commission is slowly starting to figure out they better at least, like I said, be on paper with the right stuff.
Now, what's going on? I apologize. I answered too quickly. What is going on with the NGA? I thought you said MJ Wheeler.
NGA.
Yeah.
NGA. Let me see.
What's going on over there?
Lots of questions, because this is the one they gave to ServiceSource.
Yes.
It's supposed to be going to a vote letter, but the committee won't put it to a vote letter because the lawyer who's representing the incumbent is making a lot of noise with the commission. So the commission is scared to vote on it, to send it forward.
I see.
You're not the only bad guy around.
Well,
a lot of bad guys. What remains, there are some questions concerning them.
I thought ServiceSource was already working there in one of the campuses.
This is for St. Louis.
Okay.
manager went and got a lawyer and said, bullshit, this shouldn't even be in the Ability One program, and it sure as hell ain't going to ServiceSource.
So let me ask you this then, Gene. Where was it that KCK and ServiceSource were working together already?
I don't know one, but one of them. Yeah, maybe in that one.
Okay. Because that's...
They're on one of them. But it may not... Let me say, the forces are converging from every direction.
Right.
You know, it's not just you and OIG and other stuff and David. It's the tsunami.
Right.
Well, and the more it comes, the more they're resistant to it, and the dumber they get. But that's just, I guess that's the way life works. I was down yesterday with the ADR, the American Arbitration Association. Martin tried to cancel the meeting. Dennis tried to cancel the meeting for me. Everybody tried to cancel the meeting for me, and I wouldn't cancel it. So lawyer to lawyer, the lady who heads it up, she and Martin, she said, Martin hates my guts, and I was really not so nice to him. And so she said, Gene, you know, lawyer to lawyer, come on down. So we met, and she said, Gene, you know, we don't want any parts of you guys. Right. And so I felt a little bit better that it's just not you and me and some others who have this feeling that stuff is not right. The retired judge and this woman clearly told me the reputation is there's, and this woman said, Jane, let's face it. She said, I've been in the world, I think she told me 65 years or something, she said, and I got to tell you, there's just too much money going through this program and too much resistance and too much shenanigans.
Sure.
She said, I can't prove it, and I know you're the counsel and you got to say nothing's going on. She said, but I ain't there yet.
Right.
So off the record. So she knows about the OIG investigation, knows about GAO, she knows about it all. And they're like, you know, we don't want to go down with this sinking ship. We don't want the name of our organization to get all muddied up with this bullshit process you guys have in place.
Oh, so she represents one of the NPAs?
No, she doesn't represent anybody. We're trying to come up with an alternative dispute. When you guys are appealing, I'm trying to get it so you don't appeal to Martin and Dennis. Because what good does that do you?
I got you.
It's just a waste of time. Okay. So you guys would submit to the American Arbitration Association, and we'd have somebody else besides me, by the way,
right,
telling them there are problems with this decision.
I see.
I am pretty convinced, and I'm more convinced after meeting with her yesterday, that if outside judges and outside legal people take a look at our decisions after the debrief,
right,
that they will start kicking those damn things back to Source America people in spades.
Correct.
Okay? But if they're not, I send them back, they don't listen to me, they don't care. They're just still going to do what they're going to do.
Right.
And we're convinced that even when these outside people send them back,
right,
they're trying to set up a system that to limit what the judges can review and what they can look at on appeal and all that. I'm going, no. You let them look at whatever they want to look at, ask whatever questions they want until they have their questions answered and they can make an intelligent decision.
Of course.
About whether or not the process was fair and transparent and, you know, didn't have any problems. And whether, you know, CRPX should have gotten the allocation.
Okay.
So they're willing to do that. And I was creating a system where we wouldn't really touch it. Like, once you guys get the bad news and you debrief,
right,
you go ahead and have your debrief, that then you guys submit the case to an outside arbitrator.
Correct.
And then the outside arbitrator will look at it and say, you know, I agree, don't agree, whatever. And then we take that and go forward. At least we've got somebody who has no interest in the outcome.
Correct.
Looking at it.
Correct.
But right now, our process in the outside, judges and retired judges, in the outside, people who would look at this, is so screwed up that they don't know if they really want to be involved.
Correct.
Wow. Not a lot of money. You know what I mean? They're not going to be paid a lot to do it when you go through the American Arbitration Association.
Right.
And so they don't know that they really want to be a part of the bullshit.
Wow. Wow.
And so, you know, they'll do it, but when they do it, they've kind of already said to me as counsel, understand, we're going to be kicking a lot of them back to you.
Right.
Based on the samples that we've seen, we'd be kicking a lot of them back to you.
Sure. Sure.
And so I'm going to let them go forward and do this. So I've been telling them, you know, don't start the ADR stuff in the middle of the OIG. The year Scott is and Lisa are investigating the allocation process.
Right.
So you're going to start this ADR, and they're going to be, it's going to create a nice little record for, just wait and see where Scott and Lisa come out. Because right now, Scott and Lisa have enough material to come out with a very slamming report.
Correct.
And if they were to look at three or four of these, you know, even the ones that are currently all screwed up, then I think, you know, they'd have enough to show a pattern of practice and that everything's not good in Denmark.
Sure.
But instead of them backing up, like sensible people do, they seem to be running to go jump off the cliff.
Correct.
So, but yesterday was good for me, Reuben, because it wasn't you, it wasn't me, it was somebody who doesn't know anybody.
And
good legal minds saying, help me right with this process.
Right.
And it's clear that your people are lying. I'm like, well, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I just sat and listened because I never know where people are coming from. But I sat and listened, and I said, "Well, okay." So clearly, and then of course, what I get is, why won't they just let you fix the process?
Correct.
Now I have to say I don't know.
Right. Right.
But I also have to say I have offered suggestions and I have tried, but. Yeah.
It's just
they'd rather have non-lawyers fix. They'd rather have Martin,
right?
Genius, all genius, fixing the system.
Well, it's gonna.
I know why they. I can't tell an outsider. They won't let me fix it because they know I'm going to make it fair, and I'm going to make it so the favorites and you know one of the things I said to them is take the damn names off.
Right.
You don't need. I don't need to know it's Bonafide or CWO. It doesn't matter. What you have in your proposal, maybe at the end of the day, right before, but in the earlier stages, they should take the names off.
That's a very good approach. Very good approach.
That's one way of doing it. But, I mean, there are some things we could do, but until they decide to, what's the word, stop making the executive directors God.
Right.
Because right now, it doesn't matter. An evaluation and review team could spend 2 weeks locked in a room trying to make the fairest decision they know how, poring over the proposal responses. They can write up their recommendation, give it to the executive director, and the executive director could look at them and say, thank you for all your hard work, but it is not going to CRPX. It's going to go to CRPY.
End of story.
That is a system that is fraught with the potential for serious corruption on the part of any executive director.
Of course.
I'm not saying they're necessarily corrupt. I'm saying that if you have the power to play God, this is a lot of money. These contracts are a lot of money. If you have the power to veto an entire panel of experts, or maybe they're not experts, what's that called? Let's not go that far. But a panel who has spent time reviewing the document to try to come up with the best decision that they can. And that's why I laugh and say, new process is not new, you just have a new name.
Right.
Because until they relent and say, okay, makes its decision. I'm not saying that's perfect, but it's certainly better than what we have. That's the decision of Source America.
Correct.
And it should not be able to be overturned or vetoed or changed by one individual who did not sit in that whole process making and review all that paper.
Of course.
Because that just makes the whole thing arbitrary and capricious.
Correct. Correct.
But they don't care. And they're going to keep doing what they're
going to do. Now,
it's nice to have outside confirmation, because sometimes, you know, David called the other day and he says, well, you know, you and Ruben need to take a step back, because I don't want you guys to screw up your health, or, you guys are really into this. And I didn't say anything. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, you just have to take a step back. And I said, oh, you're just feeling good. I teased him. You're just feeling good because your case is going forward. And he laughed. And, he said, well, I just don't let these guys get to me anymore, because they used to have me up at night, all night.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, I understand. So the bottom line is, it's slow, but it's sure. But it's going to break wide open.
Of course. Of course.
And the commission is getting scared. They're backing up a little bit. Because they don't want to be, right now we still give them a lot of material. In other words, even if they said, well, we didn't know, we got duped too, they could probably still say that right now. Because you wouldn't necessarily be able to prove their complicity. But they're at least asking the right questions now.
I see.
I mean, I'm not saying at the end of the day they're doing the right thing, but at least they want to show the world, when we ask, if they lied to us, we can't help that, or if they didn't do their homework, we can't help that. But that's going to backfire too, because people are going to say, you most certainly could help it.
Of course. Of course. Now, let me ask
you. In this Peckham thing, I said to Dennis this morning, I said, why are we waiting for the litigation? You know it's coming.
Right.
With IMJ. They keep telling you that Peckham is not doing the right thing, and that they keep telling you that they're not employing people with disabilities. So why don't you just send a team of people out there? They have 1,600 files, audit every file, and, scrub them clean. Or report on what you find. If the files are bad, I would have to think by now they would have cleaned up everything. They've been getting, MJ's been hollering this for 2 years. The problem with MJ that I figured out, and that's what I was trying to tell you, is people who live in glass houses cannot throw stones.
Correct. I got that loud and clear yesterday.
She's had a fair amount of problems with Social Security and whether or not she's doing the right thing with the Ticket to Work program.
Correct. Correct.
And so they're going to leverage her. She has nothing to lose. She should just keep going down the road. But, I think in her heart of hearts, she's running scared because she thinks they're gonna, dirt for dirt. They're gonna throw a bunch of dirt at her.
Correct. Correct.
And they are. You expose them, they expose you.
Correct. Correct. Well, that's what I got from MJ yesterday, that she was a little concerned.
Well, that's the way they play the game. We are dealing with the mafia here, the old Source America mafia, where they've gotten to who they believe is her source, which is Denise Driver.
Right.
And I'm sure they told, because I know that the stuff that I heard about, whether or not she's clean or not,
right,
was coming from people in Denise Driver's shop.
I see.
So I'm sure they got that to Denise, and I'm sure, it's working like clockwork for them. They play these people like pawns in a chess game.
Right.
So I'm sure Denise has probably said to her, they got a lot of dirt on you. And where they get that dirt from, I guess, is that Denise's boss, who's not the cleanest fellow himself, but used to work for Social Security or something.
Right.
So they're using Denise to scare her up.
Correct.
I don't know how much you're talking to Denise.
I haven't. I have not.
But I can't figure out where she's coming from these days.
Right. I mean, I was thinking about it. I'll tell you that. But I haven't yet.
Nah, though. Because I don't think that she knows enough. I mean, I tried to get her involved with Scott in some of the answering the questions about the board and the relationships and all of that.
Right.
So we have pulled her in on an official. And I would just keep it official if I were.
Right. Of course. Of course.
Yeah, let's keep it official. Because you just never know, that's not somebody you can trust. That's somebody who talks a lot, and you never know when they're going to go back and say, you know, this is who I was talking to, X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Believe it or not.
No, I
and
understand.
It won't come across as you having called them, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because there was somebody else, Carl, who told me that you had called him.
Carl,
you gotta watch these guys. They're not, I mean, they're just not solid enough for you to be.
Correct.
You know, so be careful in that respect.
I understand. With the Carl, I did call him, and I left things in very general terms. Though I try to encourage him at the same time. But you're right. You know, you got to be careful.
I'm just telling you, be careful with them because I don't know how to say it to you. It's a strange group. It's a very strange group. And they basically do every man and woman for him or herself.
Correct.
So I would, you know, I think in heart and in spirit, those people are with you.
Right.
And with seeing the craziness be exposed, but they're also running a little bit scared, and they leverage everybody.
Correct.
I mean, anything that you have that's not so good or bad or any mistake, they're going to leverage these people like crazy.
Correct.
That's the game they play.
Correct.
So, you know, I would... I can't imagine that there's too much that Denise Driver knows that won't come trickling out anyway.
Correct.
And sometimes the accuracy of it is not...
Not there.
Let's be circumspect.
Correct. I wanted to talk to you about two things that are, I think, quite important. The first one is, have you heard, I mean, you must have heard, of the resolution of 2006 at the National Federation of the Blind there in Dallas, Texas, I think it was? It was
what did they say? I can't remember. They hate us, so they're always on top.
Okay, so I mean, it was 2006, this certain Miss...
2006 was a blur because that's when all the NCED stuff was hitting the fan.
Okay.
So we were busy dealing with FBI and U.S. attorneys and all of that, but what happened?
Well, Sharon Manneke, she in a resolution, man, it was scathing toward against Nish. And it was so scathing that I'm wondering how, and she lays out everything about the shenanigans.
Denise would be a good source for stuff like that because she kind of keeps up with that kind of stuff.
Right, and I am just okay. And she, I mean, I don't know why it didn't go anywhere.
What did she lay out? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't know about this.
I mean,
what did she lay out?
Let me give you an example. She's just, I'm trying to...
Because everybody was on top of us in 2006.
Right. She talks about the 1971 amendment.
Special, I mean, there was a whole bunch of crap.
Right. Let me give you an example of this. Some of the abuses. Says, to meet the 75% hour of direct labor requirements, jobs may be split into three or four smaller jobs, generating more hours spent by blind or disabled workers whose productivity is thus artificially capped. Number two, the resulting jobs are often paid at piece rate, with the rate set so high that minimum wage can rarely be achieved. Number three, blind and disabled workers are kept on the shop floor and rarely advanced into management because they are more valuable in direct labor jobs to qualify for the priority than they are as managers. Number four, as a result, jobs come and go, making employment of blind and disabled workers intermittent and present only to qualify for the federal priority. And number five, the definition of people with other severe disabilities has been interpreted so ridiculously elastic to qualify for the priority.
Now, yeah. We get that. You think that's scary? We get that on a regular basis, okay. And we've gotten a lot more of that. You can update that because the Blind Federation for the Blind are against 14C, sub-minimum wages.
Right.
And so they have been making, you know, all kinds of claims similar to what you saw on that Rockefeller Center special.
Yes.
Right. So that's the same, I mean, that's sort of the same attack. And they have always been very strong. They actually have good lobbyists, by the way, and they're pretty effective on the Hill. So, yeah, they have been on top of Source America forever. They continue to be.
Okay.
And they continue to have some representatives on the commission that are predisposed, if you will, to their point of view. The only problem with the NFBers, it's good that they're pointing out all this stuff, but they have a different agenda. You know, it's a little bit like MJ. Their agenda is sort of single focus, and it's that the commission is more in favor of the blind, I mean, of people with disabilities and that Tina and Bob, you know, or whomever, that Mish gets preferential treatment by the program, by the commission.
Correct.
That there isn't really equal status between the severely disabled and blind and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So they have their agenda, and they use the dirt of the program to point some things out.
Correct.
And they've always done that. I mean, I think if you look at most of their stuff, you'll find even more.
Okay.
Any of the NFBers stuff. So it has been out there in the public forum for sure.
Now, who was that gentleman that knows there? I think it was their leader that knows that Tina wants Bob's job. What is his name?
Kevin
what?
Kevin Lynch.
He has
a NIB. But no, NIB is different than NFD.
NFD.
Okay. NIB is the same as Source America.
Okay.
So that guy, Kevin Lynch, has the same job as Bob Chamberlain.
So it's an NIB.
He's president of one of the CNAs.
President of one of the CNAs, okay.
Okay, so he's the same job as Bob Chamberlain.
Okay.
He is Bob Chamberlain of the National Industries for the Blind.
NIB, okay.
Yeah, what you're talking about is National Federation for the Blind, and they're an advocacy group that obviously is connected with NIB, but they're not, you know, they're not one and the same.
I understand now. Advocacy group. How do you think that...
One of the things you have to know in the disability community, and people like you and me and most lay people who are non-disabled don't get it, is the blind and the severely disabled hate each other's guts.
I see.
Like they're all fighting for the same piece of pie.
Sure.
And so they go before judges and they go before outsiders and they go, well, as far as I'm concerned, you're all people with disabilities.
Right.
They don't separate out people being blind.
I see. Of
but
course.
But our program does. And there's a big rivalry between NIB and Source America because NIB is much smaller. they don't seem to have the problems that we have on their allocations or any of that stuff either, by the way.
Yeah, but they have a very limited scope of jobs that they can do. That's why, in my perspective.
Well, but remember, they get to exercise the waiver first. So they're fighting. They're the competitive. They're the rivalry organization. We don't work well together as we should. I happen to like Kevin. I think he's a good guy.
Right.
But there's no love lost between Kevin and Bob.
How do you think...
There's no love lost between our staff and their staff.
How do you think Kevin Lynch came to learn of the Tina, Bob Chamberlain issue?
I have no idea.
But somehow he knew.
Now,
MJ talks about...
I didn't bite on it because I just never know if people drop stuff, why they drop it. You know what I mean?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't know who they put out there to kind of test where people are coming from.
Absolutely. No, I understand.
It could be Tina's best friend, and she could... Tina steers clear of me.
Right.
To the extent that she can.
Wow.
She won't meet with me. She won't be in a room by herself with me. She's totally clear of me.
Wow.
Goes in the other direction if she can.
Well, that too shall someday change soon.
Under the circumstances, I guess I wouldn't blame her, but that's what she does. I think, like I said, and that's, every time I think I'm going to get to it, I don't have a chance, but I did start. I took boxes and boxes in, and I had Pam start filing stuff.
Okay.
And then they did something that pissed me off, and we loaded. We got about a quarter of the way through the job, and then we loaded them all back in my car.
Okay.
And so Martin calls Pam this morning. It was funny because they were all the way at the conference, and they're my files. They're my files from my house.
Sure.
But I wanted to organize them into folders, and kind of revisit what has happened over the last 5 or 6 years so that I can respond to Bob in kind.
Sure.
Before the 45 days is up.
Right.
Believe me, I'm going to get all my stuff in writing.
Right.
But I can never have a chance to do that because there's always some crap going on. Every day they give new material.
Sure.
But the biggest thing you got to remember is Scott has got to ask just the right question.
Right.
Because they're putting a lot of pressure. Let me say I have not seen Carlos and Maylene since Bob took Carlos and Maylene in that room.
Really?
Okay. Now know that Carlos used to come visit us once a week.
Of course.
So our normal, get together, update, what have you. They're communicating directly with Martin and Dennis and Bob and, whomever.
Sure.
Matt and the rest of the people to get their information. Carlos said he was going to stop by this week, Wednesday or Thursday. Well, it's Friday. He didn't.
Right.
It turned out I wouldn't have been able to get together with him anyway. But so I haven't had a chance to look them face-to-face, lawyer-to-lawyer, with no one around and say, what really happened?
Right.
I will get that chance, but
yes. It
just keeps falling to the next week.
Very telling. Very telling.
And the other thing is, so, because I said to them, my directive to them is don't play games with Scott and Lisa.
Right.
You give them what they need, and you give them, even if they don't ask the question perfectly, you know what the hell they're looking for. Just give it to them.
Correct.
And so now they're playing that game. No, we're only going to give them exactly what they asked for. So if they don't get the question right, they ain't going to get the right information.
Correct.
At least on the first go-round.
Correct.
Once they give it to them. And the other thing is, I just don't know from timing, but he still has not clarified the question that is going to cause him to get a lot of good stuff, and that is, you've got to ask, I want the last 5 years of the competitions that you guys have run to award projects.
Right.
I want to know who was in them, who was in the competition, who won. He can later, once he gets, once he finds out, for example, I don't know, pick any of them, the NGA building.
Right.
That the competitors were Bonafide, Portico, I'm just making this up, CW Resource and Service Source.
Right.
Who won the competition?
Right.
And if it turns out that it's Service Source, then he can start matching it up to say, you know, 3 times out of 5, it's always somebody in the top 20. But that's the last piece of the puzzle.
Sure.
The first piece is, I mean, as I understand his question is, he and Lisa's charge, is to find out whether our allocation process is fair and transparent.
Right.
Okay, the second part of that question is, assuming, well, let's say it isn't. If it isn't, does it show a bias or favoritism towards certain CRPs?
Right.
Then he gets to, yes, and which CRPs are those?
Right.
Then he gets to, and are many of them in the top 20?
Right.
Some will be, some will not be.
Right.
Some are smart enough not to get on the board, like Janet. Janet has been brilliant in not making sure she never gets on our board.
Right.
She isn't active in the NCWC. The people who are in those are people who have smaller agencies that want to use their board contact and their influence to grow, you know. At one time, NCED and Ready One was one of our smaller agencies. At one time, Peckham was one of our, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Sure, sure.
What he's got to get from them is, we don't care whether it made it to the procurement list or not.
Right.
All I want is a listing of every competition that Source America has run in the last 5 years. Who was in the running?
Right.
Who were the winners? And then once he can kind of compile that. Well, hopefully they'll compile it for him.
Right.
We don't care whether the project, after you told the CRP you got it,
right,
whether it actually made it to the procurement list.
Right.
Because that's not what he's looking for. What he's looking for, I mean, that is part of it too, but right, at the end of the day. But what he's looking for is when they put out an opportunity notice.
Right.
Is the process for selecting the CRP fair, transparent, and do you guys as competitors in CRPs really stand the snowball's chance in hell of actually getting something?
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
And not just the ones that nobody else wants.
Correct. Correct. No, I agree. I agree.
So they have that data because in order to run a competition, you've got to advertise it up on the website, right? Up on the portal. Isn't that where your people go and look for what opportunities are available?
Right, right.
Right. So they have that information. And they know who responded to each of those. And they know what teams they put together. And then, once he has just that general information, there's another list, which he doesn't know yet, that he should just look and say, if he's looking for samples like Lloyd George, where the facts are ugly and it's clear people are lying and it's clear people are connected and it's clear people are using those connections.
Sure.
Then there's probably 3, 4, 5 more. And that's what I think he's looking for, so he can
right,
show a pattern or a practice or a trend.
Right.
But he's not going to get to that until he asks the question about, well, how many competitions, I mean, I would start it broad and go narrow.
Right.
How many competitions are you guys running a week?
Right.
Okay, in a week's time, you know, and you can say, well, not a week, a month.
No.
Every month, how many competitions are there?
Right.
And who are the winners of the competition?
Right.
You know, and who are the losers?
Right.
And that will speak volumes at some point.
Right.
See, the other thing is, some of them we don't run a competition.
Right.
So it's not just how many competitions are you running and how. Sometimes people get stuff and there's no competition, right?
Right.
So the question there is, in addition to how many competitions you're running, how many sole sources where you guys didn't run a competition at all, you just gave it to CLTX? Need that list too. And who are those people?
Right.
Those are, you know, because they're not busy gathering that information. As far as I know, they gave them the information that they gave to, and I'm not stopping them from giving them whatever they're giving them. Which
sure.
Give it to them.
Of course.
And I'm not trying to correct it. If they want to be stupid enough to give them bad information.
Right.
But he does have to have information that is helpful for what he's looking for, and I think that's important. When is he going to start interviewing these folks?
Soon.
I guess he shouldn't be in any hurry, because right now, since they have certainly underestimated what he's capable of doing,
right,
and what he's really looking for, because they keep doing
right.
It's like the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Sure.
I mean, every day they give him new material.
Correct.
But, which is good for Scott, not so good for us. Then, but in any event, so the more he stays off of them, in some ways, kind of the better it is, because they just keep
messing up.
Yeah, they just keep right on. They just become emboldened. But the commission is getting smarter.
Okay.
And so he needs to at least, like a squirrel for the winter, he needs to at least gather his nuts.
Right.
The ones that cannot be undone and unrun,
right,
in terms of the bell, and squirrel them away,
right,
and then, you know, just wait a few days because there'll always be something new.
Of course.
So, I mean, I think, I don't know what's going on with the Bob Turner stuff or whatever,
right,
but when he does the Bob Turner stuff, that will certainly ripen him up for his interviews with Dennis Fields and Bob Chamberlain.
Of course.
But, you know, in that situation. But now, for example, I know that this NGA may go out of the program quickly.
Right.
You know, so they know that... there's moved in, my apologies. Hold on a second. Just a quick note to remind you. Okay, this is what I saw. Hello, Mr. Lopez. Just a quick note to remind you that GSA is awaiting a response regarding subject project within 30 days of their January 27th letter. Did you see that email?
I read that I read that letter from GSA.
No. This is from Tina Wright to you.
Okay.
It says to Ruben at Bonafide, the date, copied to Jim Freeman.
Okay.
It came at 6:37 p.m. on the 5th of February.
Okay.
It says, hello, Mr. Lopez. Just a quick note to remind you that GSA is awaiting a response regarding subject project within 30 days of their January 27th letter.
Oh, yes,
Jim,
I see it.
Jim Freeman from my staff has forwarded a recommended corrective action plan to your operations manager, Andrea Cole, with a suspense date of close of business February 13th.
Okay.
Copy is attached to this email.
Okay.
This draft document has been created with input provided by your project manager, Sandy Olivia.
Right.
And your site supervisor, Raphael Kelly. Shall we assume, if we do not hear back from your organization, that you accept the recommended corrective action plan? Hang on a second.
Okay.
Jane Robinson. Hey, Cindy, how are you? Just trying to dig out. Just trying to dig out. It is bad, and I know you guys are getting it on that end as well, huh? I know. We've been getting a lot of it on this end, too, on the East Coast, so we've been getting a lot. Well, I know, and I've had the pleasure this winter of doing winters in Wisconsin, because my mother, unfortunately, had a heart attack and then a stroke, and winters on the East Coast as well. But I've been traveling back and forth, and I'm getting the best of both worlds this time. The best of our bad weather and the best of that bad weather, but in any. She's doing a little bit better. She's doing a little bit better. So we're hopefully turning some corners. But listen, I know that we have been playing telephone tag, and that's why I grabbed this when I saw it. I'm actually on the other line, but cause I do have a couple questions about your firm's capability, et cetera, that I want to talk to you about. So is this a good number to dial you back on? Okay, I'll dial you back on this one, Cindy, in about 10 minutes. Okay, thank you. All right, take care. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, thank you.
So did you see that email?
I did see the email. Okay, and then there's another one right after that, a half hour later at 4:26, which says, "My apology, copies of the CAP were sent to Andrea Cole and prepared with input from your project manager, Sandy Avila." Okay, what does this mean?
Right, okay, yeah, right, exactly. Okay, so, but it still looks like you're on the CAP, though, no matter what.
What is the CAP?
Some shit that David made up. I told you the first time we met. No, it's a corrective action plan.
Correct.
It's that thing where Ruben and Gene, he really isn't on a performance improvement plan. It's sort of modeled after that, but it's our version of how to correct the problem. Remember that old thing?
Right.
So that's that again.
Okay. Okay. Well, I will be answering him next week. I was just waiting to see exactly where they were coming from and what they were doing, both he and the government.
Well,
so.
Okay, but Clavester was the guy from GSA who wrote the stuff. What the hell are you guys giving me bona fide for? They're suing us all over the place, and I don't want any parts of them, right?
Correct.
Wasn't he the guy?
Yes.
Okay, so they're... So didn't they do this? I mean, in getting Peckham, it was a shotgun marriage anyway, right?
Correct.
Okay, and so now they're just going to follow, I guess, whatever process. But is GSA putting this pressure on them?
Slightly.
Okay.
Yes, the answer is yes, but it won't be for long. I expect that by no later than the week of the 17th, GSA will be backing off.
Okay, all right.
I would
okay.
expect.
Okay, well, you just do whatever you guys are supposed to do in terms of responding so that,
sure.
You know, they won't, don't give them any bullets to shoot you with, because they're definitely going to shoot you if you do.
Absolutely. I understand.
So don't give them any, but... I would certainly, make sure you don't miss any deadlines and make sure your people stay on top of it. What were the, you were the nature of the things they were complaining? Are they things that can be fixed, or are you being set up? What's the story there?
Well, no, everything. I mean, from carpet spots to people falling and saying that there were no wet floor signs, which they were. I mean, it's the full approach. It's a full approach. But the beautiful thing is that it's documentable, and we're pushing back. Starting next week, we're pushing back hard.
Okay, well, tell your people they can't afford to make a mistake here. This is one where they got to
shine.
Really give us 110%.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're on it. Believe me, there are people there. I have people out there this week making sure, and we have people there last week, and we're going to be there until that place is perfect.
Okay, good. So you got to get it perfect.
Yeah, we're on it. We're on it. But
I mean, it's never going to be perfect in their eyes, but you got to get it as perfect,
as possible,
documentable perfect as you can get it.
Exactly, exactly. Gina, I do want to ask for clarification on that NGA. I'm a bit confused. I knew that, I mean, I thought, and I'm sure I'm going to go back to my documents, that KCK and ProSource, is it? I forget.
There are more than one NGA now. Just remember that.
Right, right. That they were working somewhere together.
Yeah, I'm sure they're working on this. I mean, it may not have been added to the procurement list yet, but it's probably started to start up. I don't know the timing of it.
Right, and I thought they were already working on something. And then now I'm beginning to see that maybe it won't be, maybe the commission will not accept it because...
That's my point in how fat that Mr. Mumper and Mrs. Di Maria need to move a little faster.
Correct, correct.
Because the commission is getting smarter. Dennis isn't calling me every morning because he likes me. Dennis Lockhart from the commission, he's calling to see what information he can get.
Right.
And I just go, oh, I don't know, really. You know, so it's give him, I just keep saying the same thing to him. Why do you guys keep doing the same thing over and over?
Right.
And you need to take this serious. And
right.
You guys need to quit. So Dennis gets it now.
Right.
Dennis just hopes he can hold out until his retirement in 8 months.
In 8 months. I don't think he's going to make it.
But that's what he's hoping. If he's doing what his boss directs him to do, and he's just trying to hang on.
I don't think he's going to make
it. And Skills and Martin and Bob, they're just on a mission to grind you guys, you detractors, and not just you. I mean, it's Fort Coase, it's all the people into the ground.
Right.
And get rid of, so it's a race to the finish.
Correct.
Okay? I got my 45 days notice. You know, wherever they can give you or anybody else who they believe is on top of them on this stuff, you know, the boot, it's going to happen. I mean, you know, this thing with Peckham is their way of keeping you busy for a while.
Right.
And in a message to you that, you know, I mean, it isn't really coincidental that we all sort of get put on probation or corrective action, whatever it is you want to call it.
At the same time.
Week.
Yeah.
You don't really think that's coincidental, do you?
No, of course not. It's
serendipity is interesting, but come on. Well, and it's interesting that neither party is formally put on anything.
Correct, correct.
And so I'm not formally on a PIP, a performance improvement plan, which is available to them if I'm such a screwed up employee.
Right, right.
I ask on it. It's what I do. It's what I'd recommend for them to do. You know, if you got a wayward employee, put their asses on a performance improvement plan and then give them 45 days.
Right.
I got 45 days to shape up or ship out is what I was pretty much told. So, you know, what are we, 2 weeks into that 45 days or something now, but whatever. The bottom line is they're sending out their signals, they're planning, they're doing their paperwork, they're exploiting and leveraging any vulnerabilities that anybody has.
Correct.
And anybody that's coming at them.
Correct.
So MJ, they told, you know, you better back your ass off, or we're gonna make you look really bad out here.
Correct.
But she's gonna be running scared. But her lawyer ain't gonna, she's going to have trouble putting the genie back in the bottle.
Right, right. Well, they're going to have some issues come the end of this month for me. Huge issues that they don't know.
Okay, so but here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, like you said, we all just kind of need to sit back. We need to be organized about the things that you're looking at and looking for.
Sure.
And gather that stuff.
Sure.
To the extent that they can begin to undo, they're not totally stupid, undo some of the things that look bad, they're going to try.
Right.
In some cases, they can't unring the bell.
It's too late.
On this Bob Turner thing, it just ain't worth it to the guy. I mean, $150,000, $200,000 ain't that much money. I know Scott says it's a lot of money, but not to this guy.
Right.
You understand right. what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely.
So to the extent they can back their asses out of this, and to the extent that he's not interviewed any of them yet and have statements that he can later say, well, why are you changing now?
Right.
You understand?
Yes.
You know, they're going to... So timing is important here.
Yes.
In terms of following through on this stuff, because you understand that the new motif is on the ones where they can't cover their tracks or they can't explain a rational basis for what they've done. They just have thrown in the towel by taking it completely out of the program.
Correct. Correct.
Which is off for the people with disabilities, but in the mission.
Of course.
That's the plan.
Of course.
And cause so that's the way, that's their defense. That's the way they've figured it all out.
Okay.
And what we got to do now, Denise did write something. I wrote her and called her in my official capacity driver and said, I need those resignation letters. I need this stuff. I don't know if John Murphy was contacted yet, but as a former board member, but now he has a resignation letter from him that Dennis is worried about. I didn't look at it. I don't see why he's so worried about that. But that gives Scott a perfect reason.
Sure.
Call.
Absolutely.
But again, John's having his own personal... I haven't spoken to him since May or something, but when he was at the conference, we had dinner. But let me just see what...
What does John look like?
John Murphy?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you know Tom Sawyer?
Yes.
Kind of professorial, tall, skinny, beard, black hair, well, maybe salt and pepper now.
He plays golf, doesn't he? He's a golfer.
Glasses.
Glasses, okay. He's not a golf player, a golfer?
Nah.
Okay, then
nah, not that I golf. I don't think so. Nah, he doesn't do any golf.
Okay.
Oh, let's see what Bob, let's see what you let me write Bob back and tell him. Hi, Bob, you asshole. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness, Gene, it's come to this.
I know. It keeps growing because you keep doing dumb crap every day. So we will definitely, since we're all just trying to get stuff in writing, definitely. I just thought Bob was a smarter guy.
Not when you're greedy and arrogant. Wisdom goes out the window.
Because I don't know. I just tell you, they tell me I have to say that because I'm counseling. But I said, I don't know. They're such idiots. I don't know. They like power as much as they like money.
So are they taking the case or not, this association?
We're going to try, and only if
But they're
it has to be non-binding because it cannot be binding based on the law.
I see.
And that's what John sat with these poor people for months, and he, you know, he didn't have sense enough to figure that out. So this lady remembered that I sat in on one call, and that, hold on one second.
No problem.
Because when I'm working from home, they time when how quickly I respond to emails.
You're right. Oh my goodness.
But not 12 days a slave, 365 days.
Oh my goodness. Did you see that movie?
No, not yet.
You
not
gotta
yet.
See it.
Probably try to see it. Hey, I'm gonna be out in California the weekend of the 14th.
What part?
Laguna Niguel.
Oh.
That's not by you though, right? I think it's far from you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'll be at my.
It's a couple hours, I think, for me.
Right. What are you gonna be doing?
I won't be out that way, but let's see. Okay, I don't. All right, I'm good now. But okay, so are you on a corrective action plan or not? That's what I need to know.
Well, evidently I'm on a CAP. Okay, I guess I am.
God damn, Ruben, you just can't do right, can you?
Well,
all right, so you're on a CAP, and I'm on a. I guess I'm on a CAP too.
Yeah, I suppose we're both on a CAP. But it's okay. We're going to... Oh, let me ask you this. Are there enough people, Gene, that if in a week the board of directors at Source America had to be switched, are there enough people that could step in, honest people that you know of?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, not, our whole program is not bad. It's just... You know what somebody said to me yesterday? I'm telling you, yesterday was a breath of fresh air for me because I never met these people in my life.
Right.
Okay. And whether they were set to tell me this shit or whatever, it worked. It sounded good. But I don't think they were, okay, because they don't like these people either. But they're not people with an axe to grind. They don't know any of us.
Right.
Including me. I mean, they don't know whether... I mean, part of their speech to me was, if you're one of the bad people, you know, we think it's screwed up. I mean, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But they were clear. For me, it was a breath of fresh air that the stuff that I've been thinking, because I clearly at this point, you know, they're swatting at me every day. So I'm clearly too emotionally into it to be objective. But they are clearly people who don't know anybody and said, you would have to be crazy not to know and understand the bad things are going on here and that it all stinks to high heaven.
Sure. Sure.
These are outside lawyers, outside judges, you know, who said, Gene, are you kidding me?
Right.
And they said, did you think we wouldn't get around to reading the GAO report? I said, well, I said to myself, well, that was mild.
Right. Right.
Oh, so I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that we're definitely on the right road, but one of the things they said to me was, and this is going to answer your question, one of the things they said to me was that these people have been doing it for so many years, and they're not going to stop. I mean, that they're just, it's like an addiction. They're just... So much time has passed. They've been getting away with it for, you know, for what, 25 years, and they don't know how to do it different.
Correct.
You know, even though all the heat is on, even though people are saying to them, because I asked them, I said, well, when you sat and explained to them how screwed up their decision-making process was and how screwed up to be one, because I wasn't in the meeting, I said, well, what do they say? They looked at me and they said, well, they didn't agree with that, and that I didn't understand, and we didn't understand, and it's a subjective process. And basically, they told us to stick it in our ear. And I started laughing. I said, okay, well, good. At least now I feel better that they just don't tell me that. They tell anybody who says it differently. So I said that to say to you that the word is certainly out in the legal community.
Correct.
And at the courts.
Yes.
Because we're dealing with retired judges.
Right.
That there are serious problems with our allocation process. So Scott shouldn't feel like, well, you know, I know there's got to be days where he and Lisa feel like, well, maybe Ruben and Gene and the rest of these people, they all have an axe to grind because they've been screwed over by these people.
Right.
And maybe the stuff they're saying is not as bad as it seems.
Right.
And maybe these people are dumb and mean, but not illegal. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
I know at
sure.
some point they got to say, you know, are they making it up?
Right. No, you can't make this
up. I mean, they got to say that, Ruben. They might
sure.
not say it to your face.
Sure.
But I can tell you by the reaction of outside counsel and other people, they look at you and they think, you know, they're kind of delusional. I mean,
yeah.
There's no way anybody would do stuff.
Correct.
Time after time, time and time again.
Now, who are these people you're talking to? What are their names?
Well, I won't give you their names. I won't compromise. But I'm telling you that these are lawyers that are looking at our process because we are trying to employ an ADR, an alternative dispute resolution process.
Right.
So these are contract appeals lawyers. These are procurement lawyers. These are judges, retired judges. They're retired judges.
Correct.
And what happened is our guys approached them to try to sanitize, if you will, the B1 process.
This was Martin Williams and Dennis Fields.
Yes, and Bob Chamberlain. Well, it was Paul Atkinson's idea, you know, the new incoming chair who benefits from every policy he's ever put in place.
Sure.
That he created.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean... So the bottom line is that it is just the message I want you to take away from, because it was good for me to hear. So if you're just talking to me, but if you were talking to somebody else and you explained or you pointed out some of the stuff, I'm telling you they would think you're
crazy.
Ready for the shit check.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, they're going to look at you like, I mean, they'll be nice to you.
Right.
They'll look at you and say, really? But they don't believe it.
Right.
Until they start looking into several of the allocations or several of the competitions, then they go, well, shit.
Right, right.
And but, that's what you're dealing with. And so I'm telling you, just as a friend, you know, I'm telling you that I bet you when Scott and Lisa, no matter how much they like us or whatever, when they go out of the room by themselves, they go, well, it can't be this bad.
These guys are smoking.
I'm telling you, they think we live in Colorado.
Right.
And I'm sure they think we live in either, what is it, Washington State and Colorado. Both
right.
I'm sure they think that we are smoking wacky tobacco. They're not going to say it to your face, Ruben. But after a while, you got to say, nobody can do this shit. Next time, you just kind of look. You pay closer attention when you're talking to them. Right now, you usually focus and you're trying to get the input. You pay closer attention. And I bet they're going to be looking like, oh.
Yeah. I agree with you. I can hear them saying, did this guy drive himself here alone? Should we get someone to drive him home?
I'm telling you, when they look at me, they're going to say, well, she's crazy too. There is no way that people would continue to do the same dumb shit day in, day out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, but it's true.
Don't talk to anybody in my family or anybody that I'm close to about it anymore, because I swear they will be saying, well, you know, what are the laws about getting people some help and committed?
That's true. That is true. That is absolutely true.
They just don't believe it. And then if they really want to be entertained, if they sat in a room and listened to Martin Williams and Dennis and Bob just one day,
right,
they'd be like, they're all the whole bunch.
Right.
Because it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
But, you know, Bob is crazy like a fox. Dennis is crazy like a fox. Martin's crazy for real. I mean, he's busy chasing power and a job.
Correct.
He thinks he's going to get Bob's job. So he's busy. And the one thing I've really realized about folks, and I'm not a psych major, but if you become sort of a pathological liar, you start to believe the lies yourself.
Absolutely.
And that is part of it now that you know, I've watched Bob for 10 years now.
Right.
And what I'm seeing is he and Dennis and Martin and these guys have convinced themselves that what they're doing is right and what they're doing is defensible.
Correct.
So that it doesn't matter, and anybody who tells them it's not, they just crush them.
Correct.
Whether it's me or outside counsel, they just move them along.
Correct.
Okay? And so that's the mentality that we're dealing with. And so I don't lose sleep anymore, because I used to couldn't figure it out. I would be like, well, logically, you know, okay, they might be onto that, so you might want to stop that.
Right.
Well, no, why would we stop? I mean, they don't say that to you. They just don't.
Right. Right.
But the commission and Tina, I've not seen her or talked to her. I tell you, she runs, but I think they're starting to run a little bit scared.
It sounds like it. It really does sound like
it. No, they're running scared because it's not just Scott and Lisa. That's just, wait a minute, they got to stand in line in terms of the heat and the scrutiny.
Sure.
Really, I mean, they've got all these lawsuits. They got all this litigation. They got all these law firms. Plus, to some extent, they've got to have DOJ, who has to defend them.
Correct.
Which is always weird, saying, are you guys really minding the store?
Right, right.
You know, and so, oh, that's hilarious. A guy bought a mattress and put it on the bus. I love it. Show him taking the mattress off.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to let you go, but I think what's important here is to keep it coming, because even though they're trying to pretend to you and me and the Davids of the world that they don't give a shit and that they're just going to pound everybody into the ground, they're running a little bit scared behind the scenes, I think.
They're
doing a lot of plotting and planning.
You know it. And you just wait. You just wait a little bit.
But it's a timing thing.
Yes.
It's a timing thing.
I'm sure we'll be talking end of this month. I'm sure we'll be talking.
Okay, well, the bottom line is that I'm gonna call Carlos and Mayling and check in with them, see why I didn't hear any updates from them.
Yeah.
And see where they're going. I've gotten I've been asking for an analysis from my outside counsel, who I know is on their team. On the Bob PCSI team. I've asked for an analysis of the order for a week now. I haven't gotten it. I just write every day. You didn't get a chance to do that yet?
Right.
He's promised it by the end of today. Because I just want to see what their thought is on that, because that's another one where they were so convinced that the whole damn thing was going to get thrown out that they underestimated their opponent. I mean, their arguments weren't that great in getting some of the stuff thrown out.
What are you talking about, Gene? Please explain.
On the Porco case.
The Porco case.
Yeah, that's another example.
What stood, by the way, what ground, what stood out? What are they proceeding on?
get thrown out. That's what,
right,
I'm telling you. They're proceeding on everything.
Oh, everything. All charges.
And what's beautiful about that, from Scott's perspective, your perspective, my perspective, is David's got a lot of shit in there about fraud and business conspiracy and all kinds of stuff.
Correct.
So my point to you is that the judge, they thought the stuff was going to get thrown out.
Right.
And what I'm telling you is that it didn't.
Correct.
So Prez has some contact somewhere too, but from Scott's perspective, he has asked Mei-Ling and Carlos for all the Portico stuff. Smart move on his part.
Right.
Because now the judge has ordered all the stuff, like he's got stuff in there about backroom deals, fraud, the board. You know, he's got the same stuff that Scott's looking at.
Right.
Parallels with the claims or counts, as we call them, in the Portico case.
Right.
Not identically, but certainly enough. And David saying that whole allocation is just another example of the bullshit.
Right.
And so Scott has asked for all the paperwork associated with it.
Beautiful.
Well, in the meantime, all the lawyers, PCSI's lawyer, Didlake's lawyer, Plus America's lawyer, they all filed motions to have the case, what we call demurs, but it's the same as having the case dismissed.
Right.
Because the counts allegedly have no merit.
Right.
And generally speaking, unless you're a really shitty lawyer.
Right.
Okay? So when you file a case, Ruben, you file the kitchen sink.
Right.
So you put in 20 counts.
Sure.
Only expecting to prevail on maybe half of them.
Correct.
Some shit you just put in just in case.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's just in case. To make sure you have enough in there, A, to keep your case alive, and B, you know, to go forward.
Correct.
Well, Perez put in the kitchen sink. So, you know, I'm going to mess up the number, but let's say he put in 15 counts.
Right.
Okay? So, in all 15 counts, the stuff that did go by the wayside, which is tougher for Scott, was the business conspiracy. David was arguing that PCSI and Didlake and Source America were all conspiring against him so that he wouldn't get it and they would get it. He is right, by the way, and
right,
it did occur. That conspiracy did occur.
Right.
But the judge, Mike didn't plead it right. You know, everything's not perfect.
Right.
So the judge said, I'm going to overrule these counts. It's like two of them.
Right.
And they're all under Virginia law. I'm going to overrule those two counts, but I'm going to give you leave to amend.
Right.
Which is why I said Perez always has an angel on his shoulder.
Sure.
So in other words, you didn't write them up right so that they could stay in legally. So I'm going to overrule them for now, but you go back and you rewrite them.
Wonderful.
They can come back in.
Wonderful.
So, in essence, on all 20 of the counts, even some that I thought ain't going to last long,
right,
they're all in play for the trial and litigation.
Okay.
Many of those counts parallel the issues that Mumper and Lisa are investigating.
Right.
So right now, Carlos and Mei-Ling have all of our Portico files based on Scott asking for them.
Beautiful.
We move on.
Beautiful.
And Pam, the new person, she looked, it was two boxes worth, so she handed them all to Carlos and Mei-Ling.
Okay.
This morning at 7:30, Pam was pretty good. She's innocent, new, you know, she's a paralegal, she's not a lawyer, but you know, she's trying to do the right thing.
Sure.
So Martin shows up at my office, at her office, and our respective offices, and says to her, I'm worried about our Portico file. Did you get them back? So she calls me up. Martin says he's worried about our Portico files. I said, well, why is he worried about them? First of all, they're with outside counsel. What does he think the lawyers are going to do with them? They're not going to eat them. I mean, they're
right,
going to lose them. not going to, you know, they can be trusted. They're defending us.
Right.
Secondly, how does he even know that you gave them originals?
Right.
She said, well, I might have mentioned it to him. You know, she doesn't know where all the bodies are buried. I might have mentioned it to him. And I said, I'll call Martin to address this. Well, I call Martin to address it. And Martin doesn't mention it at all. We talked about, you know, Martin right now, it's funny to watch, you know, because while I was trying to cook dinner, I think it was yesterday, or night before, he talked to me for 2 hours, bitching and moaning about the commission and these allocations and how, you know, the people who are complaining are just going to get them yanked from the program and how the commission is no longer supportive of our position, et cetera, et cetera. The truth of the matter is the commission is still supportive and they're still complicit and they're still in as much trouble as Source America.
Sure.
On this process. But the commission is a little bit smarter in that they are trying to cover their tracks a little bit with the right questions, at least.
Correct.
I mean, with them, to me, it's a results measurement. At the end of the day, so what, you ask all the right questions, but if you come out, it's a little bit like the Lloyd George Allen Bible.
Right.
Okay, so they did a redo, but they still gave it right back to OVI.
Sure.
So at least they learn. I have to give them credit. At least they know to ask the right questions, and so that's what you're dealing with right now. But I think that, and I know Scott and have other things to do, but you know, the thing is we give them new material every day, so I can't decide whether it's good that they kind of go dormant for a while because. Just gives our people a chance to do more stupid stuff, or do they? I think it is good, but I think somewhere in the middle. I think they should preserve the stuff they know about and have now.
Correct.
And then just kind of sit and wait on the other stuff.
Correct.
But so to answer the long, long question, yes, there are honest people out there who could serve on the board, but I got to tell you, and this is going to sound like the race card, but it is an old boy and girl Caucasian outfit.
Correct.
Out the entire program.
Right.
Okay? And so because of that, I think it's indicative of the fact that David only got 3 votes in the East Region, 1 was his own.
Sure.
I think it's indicative of the fact that Dorothy only got 5 votes, and I'm assuming she called everybody, and they just lied to her and said, yeah, I'm going to vote.
Yes.
And she wanted to send out a picture with her campaign stuff. I said, oh, don't do that.
Right, right.
That'll be a sure vote against you.
That's right.
When they see who you are.
That's right.
She didn't get that. She doesn't get that. But I get it because I've been around these folks for so long.
Yeah.
You have to remember that I was general counsel for Goodwill before I came to do this job. And so going back to the day I walked out of law school and dealing with these folk, it has always been a very racist, sexist organization with very few diverse leaders.
Correct. Yeah.
And that isn't going to change. So, but are there people out there who I don't think are part of the, it's a pretty broad net, part of what I call the machine. It's like Chicago. It's really the machine, the allocation machine. Yeah, I think they are.
Okay.
But, you know, most of the people who, you know, have an axe to grind would be honest. Except they'll say, well, they have an agenda, and their agenda is to get contracts, too.
Right.
So it's a tough sell. But, no, I think that there are people out there. Now, on the board right now,
right.
That's really sad. I'm just trying to think, is there anybody on that board? I'd have to look at a list. But is there anybody on that board this is kind of like you had me do this with the executive directors, and
sure,
I realized there were none that were pure, even a little bit.
Right.
But ServiceSource is now caught up in this other Bobby Dodd thing, too.
Wow.
Which is another good board connection. By the way, I got to send that thing to Bill. I got to do that when I get him to do that. And Nikki got into, just so you understand what my daily life is like very quickly. So Nikki called me when I was out with my mom. We got an EEOC subpoena because, remember, Bobby Dodd Institute, who is a board, former board member, and he's a board advisor now, and he's one of Bob's very close friends. And he's all connected up with the ServiceSource, Bob Turner, Bob Chamberlain, Jim Barone, Pride connection.
Okay.
And Deborah Atkinson, but I didn't know that. So they were, I noticed they were winning the morning when he lost the election.
Right.
He lost the election, okay? But, so he's getting sued, and Mickey has always been, you know, the biggest, you know, he's going to do whatever they say do. He's sort of the guy, he implements the stuff. But anyway, long story short, so he calls me the other day, and he says, I put out this notice for the subpoena collecting the documents, and then he sends me this email, which I really thought this was a totally unrelated, for a change, we're not the target or the bad guys, we're the good guys, kind of deal. Oh, wait a minute, let me just, Bob keeps sending me emails, he must know I'm on the phone. One more time. And then I get this email from Nikki, and here's Joe Diaz again, and I go, shit. Nothing is clean.
Right.
So even the things I know are bad turn out. Hold on. Let me get my vacation days here. I'm going to read you that email, and you're going to be, that's what I tell you when people think, you know, at this point, if you would tell them the story, or you would write a Hollywood or a Lifetime movie to go along with it, they would say, well, can you tell me which part is Hollywood and which part guys? Because I'm telling you, they would never get it, but let me just read you this. And you tell me whether... That's the part I don't like, though, is that there is this real potential to be set up.
Correct.
Let me just show you what they're doing. Let me just show you. Let me see if I can find it. When did we put that out? I think last Friday. You tell me what you think, because sometimes I can't keep up with them either. They're always amazing. Gazaway. So he starts talking, and I find out that he's having lunch or dinner with this guy, and he's attacking me and Pam. And they just, anybody who they think is, okay, here it is. My thing doesn't search well. Give me 1 minute here.
Take your time.
This is the latest in the setup.
And this is whom again? Who's writing this?
Nikki Gazaway.
Okay.
Bob Chamberlain, really, but...
Okay.
But it's a ServiceSource kind of thing.
Right.
Let's find it. Okay, so we send out... I send out last week a notice, because we get a subpoena, you know, I never know, by the way, if Scott's going to be serving me with one or who's going to be serving me with one. But
right.
So we get a subpoena. We send out a subpoena last week saying, this is to inform me EEOC has served Source America with a subpoena for the production of documents in the Bobby Dodd matter. Okay?
Right.
So I'm thinking that's an easy one. We're going to collect the documents. We're not part of this suit or anything. We're just going to give it. She sends that out Friday at 5:09, okay?
Correct.
And at, you got to love him, though. At 8:04, after he's had a chance to talk to Bob and Service Source and, you know, all the powers that be.
Right.
Pam and Gene, I believe there are some unusual details regarding the contract referenced in the attached subpoena that may be useful information for you and the information collection process. The contract listed in the subpoena is actually a subcontract between Service Source and the Bobby Dodd Institute.
Huh.
As such, while BDI, Bobby Dodd Institute, is a directed sub under Ability One, the contract itself is a commercial contract between Service Source and BDI, not a contract between Bobby Dodd and the federal government. In addition, all individuals in the South region were subpoenaed, but due to the prime sub relationship, this project is managed out of the East region. As no one in South region is assigned to this project, there will be very little information generated from our office. Suppose you don't want to tell me about those side meetings you're having with Wayne McMillan, the head of Bobby Dodd. Yeah. At a minimum, I am giving Joe a heads up that it is likely there is a PM in his office with this project. Okay.
Right.
So that's 8:00 Friday night.
Right.
Okay, here comes Joe. Here comes Joe at 8:30. Because they've already had their meeting.
Right.
Thank you, Nikki, for the heads up. I'll give you a call on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Right.
All right, so then, okay. So I'm going, what are you guys talking about? So I talked to Nikki, if you recall, on a Friday about a month ago about this when I looked, remember I looked it up?
Right.
And I said, Nikki, why didn't you bother to tell me then?
Right.
That, you know, it was a service, this was part of a sub, and it wasn't a direct Ability One kind. Why didn't you tell me then? So EEOC subpoenaed one of Nikki's employees.
Okay.
I was out there with my mom. I read you that email, but I had to find it. So the email traffic is, I got a subpoena to appear from the EEOC. And this is serious, by the way, when the EEOC decides to sue an agency. But the connection for Scott and you and me is that Wayne McMillan is a board advisor. He lost the election. He's a former board member. He's really close to Nikki. Okay?
I see.
But, and Bob. And he's the same guy that about, I don't know, maybe it was Bob's birthday or when the Red Sox won, he wanted to give Bob a gift.
I see.
Like, I don't know, some Sox memorabilia or something.
Right.
And I said no. And they were all pissed off at me for saying no. I said, nah, can't do it. You know, and now that you ask me, don't do it. You know,
right.
I mean, if he'd just done it, maybe
sure.
It would have, you know. But anyway, so he doesn't like me. He doesn't like me for a whole bunch of reasons. And he was one of the people who was leading the charge to put me out of the board.
Huh.
He was quiet as hell about what was going on, right? He was going to embarrass the whole damn organization with this bullshit suit. But that's okay. So I'm out there. His employee gets a subpoena to show up. And he writes an email that says, I need to be advised on this.
Right.
Pam calls me. I'm standing out in ICU. I said, Pam, tell him, first of all, when is he supposed to appear? Well, he's supposed to appear on Friday. Let's say this is a Tuesday. I might have the days off. But
right.
Well, he ain't going to appear. You need to tell him that your counsel is out of pocket. I don't have time. I wouldn't have time if I were sitting there looking at him.
Sure.
To get him ready for a deposition by Friday. It's 3 days from now.
Right.
And that at a minimum, we're going to reschedule it. But I'm going to call them and get him out of this. Tell him don't go.
Right.
Okay? So Pam says, okay. So Pam hangs up. She calls, communicates this to him.
Right.
Reuben. He goes anyway.
No way.
With no counsel.
What an idiot.
No, not an idiot. Bob Chamberlain and Mickey Gazaway, in their quest to get me, okay, in their quest to make a point that I was unavailable because I was out there with my mom.
Right.
They tell him, you go anyway.
Wow.
Wait, so he goes. They don't tell me, right? So in the meantime, silly me, when I get off the phone with Pam, I call EEOC and I say, nice try, guys, but it ain't happening.
Right.
You're not deposing any of our people.
Correct.
We're not doing it. And if you are, it needs to be sometime next month, but we're not doing it.
Right.
So the players laugh and they say, well, what do you need us for anyway? We have our own set of problems. We don't need ones that aren't ours.
Sure.
So the woman tells me, okay, Gene, I'll quash that subpoena and I'll reissue you another one. Nobody has to come to a deposition. I'll just get you one where you have to give us the contract and all that. But I'm still not knowing there's anything funny with the contract.
Right.
And she said, we want compliance records. So she kind of told me what they wanted. I said, cool. Send me another subpoena. Okay? She said, no problem. Okay? So I'm thinking everything's done and over with. So I tell Pam, I've already told Pam, tell the guy not to go.
Sure.
That I would handle. So he goes, then he writes Matt Bates, the other one that if I had a quarter, I could go down in the hood and pay some people a quarter to take care of him. But anyway, that's how much he aggravates me. But in any event, so Matt Bates writes me something saying, keep me in the loop, Gene. You're not communicating about when employees get subpoenas. Something for Bob to add to his file about, you know, me being a bad lawyer.
Sure.
So the bottom line is, I think I just ignore that. I ignore all his emails now because I know that Bob crafts them and he signs them. So,
right.
So I didn't even write back. Once in a while, I used to get excited and write back. I don't even do that anymore. I don't give a shit. So yesterday or day before, we have a conference. So now that they've told me there's some unusual circumstances between service source and, you know, the whole thing is unusual, and I ought to know that. I said, Pam, you set up a conference call between Joe Diaz and Nikki and whatever, because I thought this was an easy kind of thing. You know, I thought it was an easy peasy.
Sure.
Lemon squeezy. But now there's some shit going on. How did service source, this is a Bob Turner thing, how did they pick Bobby Dodd? You see what I'm saying? That
sure.
Scott needs to ask not only for sole sources, but here's a contract where we're getting a fee on it.
Right.
It ain't going to show up in any statistics.
Correct.
You understand?
Yes.
Because the contracts between service source, they subbed a piece of the work
right.
that they were given
right.
to their buddy.
Of course.
Okay. So I'm going, okay, call a meeting with Mickey and Joe. Mickey comes to the meeting. Pam did make one mistake. She told me the meeting was 4, so at 4:15, when I hadn't heard from anybody, I started calling them. And then Mickey jumps on the phone with an attitude. Joe was fine, because Joe was running real scared right about these days. He's not sleeping at night. Trust me, he got a little gray coming around the temples. You know, he's not sleeping. So Joe, we're talking, and Mickey, I said, where's Mickey? He said, well, I don't know, get him on the phone. So I get him on the phone, and he says, I wasn't supposed to be on this call until 4:30. I said, I'm sorry, Pam told me 4. Well, is it a problem? Do you need us to call you back in 15 minutes? No, I'll talk now. Okay, so we're talking, and I said, well, I just need you guys to explain to me why this is so unusual and what you're talking about, because I sent the subpoena to the right region, Bobby Dodds, and I don't understand what you guys are talking about. And so Mickey says, well, first of all, Gene, what are your questions? I said, I just asked my question. It was very general. And then he says, well, you know, I'm not really happy. I said, well, why are you unhappy? I said, you join the club. You got to stand in line on that.
Right.
And he said, because my guy went to the deposition and he was unrepresented. And he complained. He complained to Bob. He complained to me. He complained. I said, your guy went to the deposition. What are you talking about? So why would your guy go to the deposition, Mickey, when he was clearly told not to go by Pam, and she wrote him an email telling him, stand down, Gene will handle this.
Correct.
So I said, what idiot? I did. I said, what idiot would go to a deposition not represented by counsel? Does he watch TV? My 7-year-old knows better than you. But Mickey said, you don't want to go there, Robinson, because the bottom line is you dropped the ball. You left our staff hanging out there unrepresented because you had some family medical emergency, and then that just sent me right through the roof.
Sure.
You had some family medical emergency when you should have been there representing our guy.
Uh-oh.
I wanted to say, Mickey, F you, but
oh.
I didn't.
Uh-oh.
I calmed down. I said, Mickey, your guy is an idiot. He was directed not to. Well, I disagree with you, James. I said, well, I don't really care, Mickey. I said, fine, go tell God, go tell Bob Chamberlain, go tell the chair of the board, go tell anybody you want that I was at my mother's side in ICU when your guy went, when he was told not to, to go to a deposition without representation and decided he was going to take on Source America. I said, what level is this guy anyway?
Right.
I mean, is he like a person? Because I didn't think we had any idiots working for us.
Right.
So he said, well, I really don't appreciate you. I said, well, what level was he? He said, he's a project manager. I said, that's even worse. He's a project manager, and he goes, he gets a subpoena to show up at a deposition. He complains to Bob Chamberlain, and anybody will listen, how the legal department won't represent him, and then he still goes?
Right.
I said, that's bullshit. It's bullshit, Mickey. You know it's bullshit. Well, don't go there, James. You want to talk about bullshit? I said, yeah, I do. Let's talk about it. So then he said, well, I got to tell you that he just felt like, I said, well, Mickey, okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I it's not bullshit. Let me try to understand why a manager in this organization would think that it was okay. Let's say I was the worst lawyer in the world. Let's say Pam is the worst paralegal in the world, and we dropped the ball, and we didn't get back to him, and he wasn't represented. That's not what happened, but let's just say that for hypothetical. Anybody with an ounce of common sense knows you don't go to court, you don't go anywhere without a lawyer.
Of course.
I said, but what was he thinking? Well, he was thinking that, you know, he's a pretty savvy business person. Well, we don't agree on that, but go ahead. He was thinking that he's been deposed and he's been to depositions before.
Mm-hmm.
And that he could handle it.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to say, no. He went because, but then as I talked to him more, he went for two reasons. He went, one, so that Bob Chamberlain could say to me that I dropped the ball and didn't represent a staff member at a deposition, which I clearly got an email that covers me, but that's good.
Correct.
But secondly, he went because after I talked to Mickey Moore, Mickey says, well, you need to understand, Gene, that Wayne McMillan and I had dinner, and Wayne started talking to me about this. I said, well, I need to call Wayne McMillan and tell him that, you know, he is talking in his capacity, not as a Source America board member, but as CEO of that organization. And I've asked everybody to keep it confidential.
Sure.
And so I don't understand why you're talking about it with him at dinner. Well, I told him I didn't want to know, blah, 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 blah. So, and then he started telling me the guy's strategy. And so when he started telling me his strategy, I said, I really don't want to know any more of this. It was clear to me that Wayne had gotten together. I said, well, let me ask you one question. Did Wayne McMillan know that your staff member, George Patterson, was deposed to show up and answer questions?
Wow.
Yeah, he knew about it.
Uh-oh.
I said, oh. He said, well, and this is the way it really goes. So he starts going into this whole thing about it. And what he tells me is that the lawyer for the EEOC used to work for Wayne McMillan. She supposedly had the vendetta against him. I said, well, she ain't that powerful. Let me explain something to you. EEOC is broke, like every other government agency. And the last thing they do is take on a case against a not-for-profit organization serving people with disabilities and try to make, you know, an example out of them. If they really thought that there wasn't discrimination there. Even right. If she had a vendetta, she could not convince the region, the South region of the EEOC, to expend this kind of money.
Sure.
So I said, and he said, well, I don't understand, why you're not fighting the subpoena. Because it's really not us. I said, because the things they're asking for, we're going to give them to them. They want to know about compliance. They want to know about connections between us and Bobby Dodd and forth and so on. We're going to give it to them. Well, I just think we should get another counsel's opinion on that. I said, well, you go forth and do that, but make sure it comes out of your budget.
Sure.
I said, this counsel is going to answer the subpoena, and I can't, I'm sorry your guy went unrepresented, but I'm also annoyed because I'm going to send out a memo to the whole staff that tells them, you don't go showing up at depositions, even though they'll think I'm crazy, because they'll be insulted by the fact that I would send them a communication that says, you don't go show up in court unrepresented.
Right.
I said, the worst case scenario, if I had wanted him to go to that deposition, all I had to do was pick up counsel, local counsel in Atlanta, and tell him to go prepare the guy and show up.
Sure.
I wouldn't have done it anyway.
Sure.
So I didn't want him to go because I had worked out a deal with the EEOC that none of our people were going to go.
Right.
The lawyer at EEOC and me, we're in the dark. So he says, well, he went and he answered questions.
Wow.
I said, oh, really? Was he going to bother to tell us he went?
Wow.
While he's running in to tell Bob Chamberlain and Dennis Fields that he had to go to a deposition unrepresented, did he bother to tell you what happened at the deposition? What questions he answered? So anyway, it gets all stupid. I said, and the fact that what's-his-face is our board member, well, he's also a personal friend of mine.
Oh.
So what I figured out at the end is Wayne asked what's-his-face to let him go, or they talked about it, and they decided he was going to go.
Right.
And they really didn't want me to say no, but I did say no. They didn't really want me to negotiate it out, and they were going to leverage the fact that I was in Wisconsin, but it didn't work because I was an idiot. Instead of going to Wisconsin and turning my damn phone off, and not dealing with any Source America stuff and just taking leave, I was working remotely.
Wow.
So what I should have done is, and then I still end up getting set up,
Sure.
But the bottom line is these connections are, and Nikki is very involved in the Pride, the Fort Hood, the Fort Rucker, all of those allocations that went awry. He's the one who sat in the conference room and told Carlos and me and Valerie that he felt like he was in an uncomfortable position, but he was doing what his boss was telling him to do. But that was bullshit, too. He just wanted to see what we were going to say.
Right.
So he'd go back and tell his boss.
Right.
And that's the way these people are playing this game, is that they know they're not doing right, and they pretend that they're on the side of right to see what you're going to say.
Right.
And if you're going to try and get them to work on their behalf.
Right.
And that's why, I just listen and I don't say much, but he clearly was part of that setup. And I haven't finished with that one because, how stupid do we look? I'm over there negotiating out of it. And in the subpoena that they sent, the EEOC says, okay, Gene, we're quashing the one. Nobody needs to show up at any depositions. And this is in place of that.
Okay.
It was clear that I had, you know, the record shows I had done the negotiation, but, you know, it's just one thing after another. But Wayne McMillan is also a part of the Gonzalez lawsuit in that he says, you know, why is Wayne McMillan still on the, when he lost his election, you guys found a way to bring him back to the board.
Right.
As an advisor. So right. Now we got all this other heat. So Wayne is clearly part of the mafia and the machine, but their stuff is just unraveling in ways that even they couldn't imagine.
Correct.
Because who would have imagined that the EEOC, which is not even dealing with Project Allegation,
right,
would be saying something's not right between Source America and that it would turn up a silent, or if you will, a faulty allocation, one that we don't know anything about.
Right.
At least I didn't. I mean,
right.
You know, so it just, that's what I'm telling you, wise. You know, every day there's something new that even we don't know about that comes up from a different angle. It's like God said, let's just shine the light all the way through you.
Correct. Correct.
So now they're really pissed. So now they're stepping up the pressure. So now Mickey's writing Bob and telling Bob, you know, how counsel is awful and is not responsive and got to go. But that's because now we've turned over this new rock with Service Source and the subcontract between them and McMillan, which I don't know how that ran through our system.
Sure.
Or if it ran through at all.
Correct.
And the question about that is it the same way that Service Source ended up subbing the deal to Bob Turk?
Correct. Good
so
question.
What I'm thinking now that I know this, and I'm putting these pieces together, is that when they did the Bob Turner subcontracting thing,
correct,
they were following a model that they had used successfully in the past.
Correct.
With Bobby Dodd.
Correct.
Well, you know, direct, you couldn't say, if you were challenging that IRS contract, it did not go to Wayne McMillan. I bet you if I go and peel that onion, I'll bet you you don't drink, so I'll bet you me a glass of wine, you a Coke. I bet if I unpeel that onion that I will find that Bobby Dodd